Welcome to Nightlife, the podcast.
If you were to chart the journey of cuisine, interior design and style in this country over the last 50 years, well, you'd also be charting the journey of the legendary Babette Hayes. Babette Hayes was possibly Australia's first design stylist. She was a pioneering cook and her influence on our culture has been immense. In 2013, she was recognised with an Order of Australia. She's highly recognised as a pioneer in the art of the Australian cookbook. Syrian by birth, French parents, educated in Britain, but Australian by choice. Babette was uniquely placed to bring to Australia a fusion, I guess, of styles and traditions. In 2017, she was inducted into the Design Institute of Australia's Hall of Fame, and her passion for life-enhancing environments is still as strong as ever. Babette now lives in New South Wales' Southern Highlands, the town of Barrel, where she runs a cafe with her daughter, and she's currently working on a memoir about her very intriguing and extensive life. Babette, what a great privilege to have you here on Weekend Nightlife.
Oh, really, I could say the same of you. I'm just really so excited that we'll be talking. I'm a night bird. I'm an owl. You know, I'm not one of those early morning rising. So I tend to be wide awake at night.
Excellent. Well, here we are. Here we are tonight, this Friday night. Tell me, you've had such an enormous life, born in Syria to French parents, educated in England, but somehow you found yourself in Australia in the 1960s. How?
Well, I actually was married. My husband was very keen to come to Australia because he wanted to get away from people. He was more of a hermit. And I resisted for a good 3-4 years. I thought, I can't do that. I cannot leave my family are all in France, you see. And my mother had remarried when my father died during the war. And we ended up in England where I learned to speak English. So I didn't feel that I could go across the world and totally cut myself off from where I seemed to be life.
So were your impressions then? You're a young married woman. You come to the shores of Australia. What were your impressions of this wild continent in the 1960s?
Well, it was the best introduction. My husband's family were close friends with people here, Charles and Moya Lee. He was a child specialist. And they actually sponsored us. So we were very fortunate to have a flat waiting for us when we arrived in Australia and arrived in Sydney. So my introduction was to be picked up at our ship because I wanted to come by boat. And we arrived, we were driven to their flat in Elizabeth Bay where we were moving in for a couple of days. So can you imagine the drive from Circular Quay to Elizabeth Bay and to this wonderful 1930s building next to Elizabeth Bay House. And the first thing that I wanted to do was to take my daughter and Guy out for a walk up the hill to the shopping centre. I wanted to see what sort of food I would find. That was my priority.
And what did you find?
And what did I find? I found a beautiful French cake shop called Le Croissant d'Or. And then this incredible vegetable shop, which I saw vegetables I thought I would never see again, because it was February, the end of February, summer, height of summer, eggplants, capsicum, zucchini, not exotic from my point of view, but it was quite exotic from an Australian point of view, and I didn't know. But there they were, this Italian family owner, shop owner, with all these vegetables. And then we walked from there to the huge deli that was almost next door where they had Italian oil and all the condiments that one could possibly want for cooking the way that I like to cook. So as far as I was concerned, this was heaven, absolute heaven, and such a relief to see all this available here.
And is that different? Is it different to what you expected?
You can't realise. I don't think, in the 50s, you knew nothing about Australia. Now, we got here in 65, so they still knew nothing. And my family were appalled to think that I was going across the world to Australia. My family being in France, they just had no idea where I was going. So it was a mystery, and it was been a wonderful uncovering of that mystery, because Australia has a lot to offer, and certainly the lovely range of nationalities and their different cooking and their requirements for cooking, creating that wonderful, you know, the menus that they did. Very simple in some places, very rich in others. So It was a haven.
So you say your parents were French, your father was in the French army. Were they a sophisticated family that you grew up in?
Well, he was the governor of that part. Yes, he was a magistrate as well. So yes, they were sophisticated. My mother was she'd been brought up in La Rochelle and at the university there. She rode a motorbike to university. She was a very adventurous feminist. She was born in 1908, so we're going back a long way, but lots of personality and character.
So you left your home and you left your family in Europe to set up in Australia. You find yourself in Elizabeth Bay in the mid-1960s. So your husband, he had work?
Sorry?
Your husband had work?
Oh, yeah. Well, no, he is in advertising, a graphic designer, and he got work with J. Walter Thompson. And that way we made a lot of friends in the advertising world. And I had been doing a lot of work in magazines in England. And I was writing on food for the Sunday Telegraph, who just come out with a colour magazine on Sundays. And so I was writing for them. And I'd been writing for Queen magazine. And I'd been doing a lot of interiors and styling. So I came over with recommendations from photographers I'd been working with in England, and told to go and see these people, gave me names, and I went to see them. And that was my start of my life in Australia with magazines and book publishing.
Mm-hmm. And in 1969, you wrote a book called Australian Style.
Yeah.
How did you see Australia's style back in those days?
Well, it was the beginning of an enlightened time, I think, in Australia. It was a challenge, and it was very adventurous. Very few people, would import the latest from, say, Sweden or Germany or France. But they had the courage and the guts to do it. And I met Marion Hall Best, who had her own shop in Woollahra, and she was importing. And several architects would occasionally bring in things for their clients. So it grew. And then there was a man called Russell Whitechurch in Northbridge who imported a lot of fabrics, and Mary Meco fabrics. So gradually it took place, but it was very slow. However, it did happen. And the benefits of being felt, I mean, you've only got to go into, say, a shop like IKEA to see what we've got available in this country, besides space, which is the super end of the other end of the price bracket.
But Babette, so, can I ask you, rather than having to import style from overseas, did Australia in the 1960s have its own style?
Well, see, 65 is when I arrived, and that's when the change was taking place, actually started to take place. Not because of me, but because the timing was right. I was commissioned to write a book on Australian style. And the number of architects that I rang and designers, when I was telling them what I was doing, scoffed. You have no idea. They just scoffed. And, oh, it's not possible. We don't have enough in this country. But we did. You just got to find it. And there was a thirst for it, too. A lot of young architects and designers were very keen to promote the concept of a very good aesthetic, but they also needed to be able to find the merchandise. So it was very dependent on what was being brought into the country and the people who had the courage to do that.
So there was an appetite for learning, developing, opening up.
Yes. And it was a challenge. But you had to keep doing it, you know. So I kept putting into the interiors all the things that I felt would be right and appropriate. And when I actually moved, I met Margaret Fulton, and we became great friends. And the great cookbook writer. But we became close friends because I actually invited her to come to my place for breakfast in Hunters Hill. We'd bought a house there, and we just became very close friends. She loved what we did, and she loved the atmosphere. And she was the one who got me onto Woman's Day magazine. The editor was Joan Reeder, who's a wonderful woman who would sit on the floor. The editor would sit on the floor smoking a cigarette barefoot, and then we'd talk about the planning of whatever we were going to do. She's quite an extraordinary woman. You know, there were some really wonderful eccentrics in this country.
And there still are, Babette Hayes. So in terms of style, you were importing other influences from across the world.
There's quite a resistance at that time. You know, people were very finding it difficult to bridge that gap. But once they embraced it, it was wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
And,
And when it comes to cookbooks, I mean, you're quite prolific. Your cookbooks, you've written 200 Years of Cooking in the 1970s. In 1971, you wrote a cookbook called Family Fare. In 1978, another one called Australian Country Style Cooking. And then in 1979, Babette Hayes talks about food. What was it that you were trying to capture in the Australian cookbook?
I guess I wanted to instill an appreciation of simplicity, flavour, and not drowning everything in too much too much on one plate. I mean, that must sound silly. But, you know, when you are used to, as I was, to having one thing at a time, one vegetable would be, you know, served with the meat, or we'd start with a little something tasty to begin with and then move on. But the quality of the food was what mattered. So, and I've tried to, I've had difficulty sometimes in convincing people that, you know, you don't need to have 10 vegetables. No, I'm exaggerating. 4 vegetables with your main course because it will drown out all the flavors. Just enjoy 2 flavors at a time. And the freshness of it, you know, just being adventurous with what is put together and sampling the new and looking at the look of it and appreciating each flavour and what the potential was for combining those flavours. And then what we did here in this country was amazing. You know, you've got the Italian arrivals, you know, the Greek arrivals before that. It's been going for a very long time. But quite often, it was the pockets in the suburbs which fed the people who lived there. And sometimes this didn't really get out beyond that point. It took someone like Margaret to break those boundaries, you know, to say, try this, try that. So, and then quite a number of very keen cooks working with different magazines. I mean, the magazines had a huge impact on what was available.
Yes, they did, didn't they? Because women would buy the magazines that you wrote for, and it would have a huge influence over how they entertained, how they cooked, how they styled their home.
Yeah.
I mean, Margaret Fulton, I believe, wrote about you. She said that Babette Hayes changed our way of looking at food and entertaining in this country. What did she mean by that, Babette?
Well, I have... Well, the first time she came to have a meal with us was breakfast, and we bought this old house in Hunters Hill. In those days, it was not what it is today. It was you know, very run-down, a lovely old stone house. Had a huge veranda at the back, and I managed to find a big table, and I was inviting all sorts of people to come and enjoy being together for a Sunday morning. And she came to one of those occasions, and she just loved the atmosphere of taking your time, trying different things one at a time, and just enjoying the pleasure of even talking about the flavour of these peaches, you know. Gosh, wasn't this fabulous? And just talking about it, it's all right. It was safe to eat and talk about the food that you were eating.
That didn't happen in Australia before this time.
It did happen. People love their flavors. They love their food, but it was on a different, different way of doing it. Mm. It's very subtle. It's like listening to a piece of music, you know, and you allow the food to play its music. So if you don't drown all the flavors together in one go and you eat it out, which is what we were doing with our late breakfast in Huntersville on our dining table, just enjoying it.
It sounds to me like, Babette Hayes, you introduced the experience that we now understand as enjoying a meal to Australia, as opposed to being a very perfunctory thing that you just had to do quickly to satisfy your hunger. No, 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 no. It's an experience that you take your time with, that you enjoy.
Yeah. And it's a visual experience as well. Yeah. You know, it's a time thing. It's a visual, flavors are explored and discussed. And there's no rush to it. It's just enjoyable.
You now live in Barrel and you have your own cafe with your daughter. What sort of things do you serve up at the cafe in Barrel?
Oh, what we do is from breakfast to just after 3 o'clock. So we have lunches. And it's a community. It has a great sense of community, and we love it because it's outdoors and indoors, and the outdoor bit is a covered over big outdoor deck. It's an old house that was converted, so it has very little inside the house because we live at the back. But the front is an old cottage, sort of an old one, built in 1938, and has a lot of charm. And what we've done there is we've got an amazing collection of cakes that we make every day. We make the meals every day, and they're simple. Like I've just had this beautiful vegetable soup that Jasper's made for us. And, it's the freshness of the soups, the freshness of the vegetables, with gorgeous toasted Turkish toast, with lashings of butter. It's all very fresh and it's got a little bit of garlic in it and so on. So we do things that have lots of flavor, and the emphasis is always on flavor and also appreciating the textures and the feel and the look of it. Ambience. There's an ambience of people sharing little tables or big tables or whatever, and they get to know each other if they're regulars, you know, and I love that.
Mm-hmm. So can I ask you, now you're working on a memoir of your life. That must be fun for you to go. Yes. Can you share with us one of the wisdoms that you would like to pass on to our listeners tonight here on Weekend Nightlife?
Okay, one of the wisdoms, my goodness. Don't fear what anything that's new. Put fear aside and allow yourself to enjoy new flavors and new venues, but also embrace the familiar. So it's a question of enjoying your life, really, and enjoying people, and being willing to exchange ideas and the familiarity of a space, like going to your favorite haunt in a cafe. It's very, very healing. So we have a great mixture of people who come here, all age groups. And, we have the tennis group that comes from down the road, a whole lot of men who come and enjoy themselves one morning a week. We have elderly retirees and couples who love coming and just catching up with each other. They bring their dogs, so we have a section for dogs. And then we have a section where little ones can play safely behind the fence.
That's so lovely. Babette, can I ask you, as a young woman, you came to Australia, to Elizabeth Bay, Sydney, in 1965. It's now the year 2023. Did your French parents ever come to visit you here in Australia?
Oh, my mother certainly did, and my stepfather. They came 3 or 4 times. And my in-laws came as well.
Were they convinced? Did they fall in love with this country as you did?
Yes. Yes, they really appreciated what we had here. And I mean, obviously, we miss them and they miss us, but that's understandable. But they appreciated and felt that we were very wise, actually.
To come to Australia?
Mm. And it's interesting because I've just had my brother visit and my nephew. And, you know, I was talking to him about what's happening in Europe. And you obviously do because you're interested in the feeling. And you know that you get it in the news and what have you. But actually living there, what is it like? There's a lot of unrest there. And it was really lovely to hear from him that I felt that we'd done the right thing. Mind you, we're going back to 65. Can you imagine how many years that is? But it was just wonderful to...
Well, it's 65 years, I think. It's about 65 years, Babette.
I haven't done the calculation. But with my little two-year-old then, but I've had two other children since then. And it was just, and I'm about to be a great-grandmother.
Ooh. Wow, so congratulations.
Yes, for the second time, I've already got one great-grandchild. But it's just lovely to be able to, you know, one of the joys of my life was to be able to teach my granddaughter cooking. And we made a chocolate mousse together. And on another occasion, she was there helping me. I wanted to do a souffle, and there were 16 of us at the table. And she came in and helped. You know, lovely the way young people are so wanting to learn.
Babette, it's been such a delight to talk to you tonight. Thank you very much for being here. Really? I can see why you were awarded the Order of Australia some years ago for your service to interior design, to Australian cuisine, and indeed to writing. What lucky us in Australia that you chose to come and live on this great continent.
Well, thank you, Renee. It's been a joy to be able to share it with you.
Good luck with the memoir. I look forward to reading that soon.
You've been listening to a Nightlife podcast. For more great conversations about the issues that impact you, as well as features on travel and food, head to the Nightlife webpage. You'll find it at abc.net.au/nightlife. You don't need to be a night owl to enjoy the nightlife. Yeah.